Malik lives in Algiers neighborhood of New Orleans on the west bank of the Mississippi River. We are pleased to have him back in San Francisco, and we know that he has a very busy schedule here and in New Orleans. Malik was an organizer for the Black Panthers Party in New Orleans and in the late 1960s and early 70s. The police carried out massive and brutal repression against the Panthers in New Orleans and everywhere, and he was imprisoned at the infamous Angola prison. For many years, Malik has been an organizer for the right of public housing tenants and in New Orleans and here in San Francisco. He has remained in Algiers throughout this crisis, and he and others have formed the Common Ground, community-based organization for rebuilding and recovery in the interest of the people. It's my pleasure to introduce Malik Rahim.
First of all, and the greetings of peace. You know, I greet you with assalamu alaikum. And as we begin one of our blessed periods, it really become an honor to speak to you this day. Because this day is special to me. This is the date of my oldest brother's birthday. He died in prison here in California, you know, where the system made us jump hurdles after hurdles to get him out, even though he was terminally ill, and then at the end refused to let him out. So this is a special day. You know, I see some of them old faces that came down to New Orleans, like Natasha, a real hero. Stand up, Natasha. And I was looking for some of the other nurses that came down to New Orleans. There she is. There's another hero right there. Then I see some old friends, too. But I want to say that the reason why I say that they are the heroes, because when I made a call for help, these are the people who responded to that call. She's a nurse here in San Francisco, but came and served our community for, I believe, 2 weeks or a week. Yeah. But she was there. Natasha, I can't say well. I probably would be in the head of stroke if it wasn't for Natasha, who came down and brought Oliver with her. And I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to see him. But he was the one who taught me the pleasure of needles. You know. But again, I want to thank you for making this sacrifice and coming out tonight to hear me speak before you. It's an honor and a privilege to speak before people of conscience. To begin, the tragedy in New Orleans did not have to happen. New Orleans was spared from being hit by Hurricane Katrina. We was on the western side of that hurricane, which is the weakest side. As a spiritual person, I believe it was the spirit of Emmett Till who died that Sunday, the 28th, in Mississippi, that prayed and spared over 100,000 African American poor who would have died if that hurricane wouldn't have turned at the last minute. The city had abandoned us. They knew that this hurricane was coming. They knew that it was going to either be a Category 4 or a Category 5 hurricane. It did not even try to look at what Fidel had done the year before and removing 1.5 million people out of harm's way. It didn't even look at what was being done in some of the most racist parishes in Louisiana on removing their poor out of harm's way. They had no plan, but they knew by the estimate that 120,000 people had no means of evacuating. They knew that this 125,000 people had an income of roughly $6,000 a year. And they had no means of leaving. They knew that this was the end of the month, where people on food stamps usually get enough to survive 3 weeks. But they knew that this had happened on that fourth week, and they refused to provide them with food. They knew that they didn't have the money to bring fresh bottled water. And they only made the Superdome available at the last minute. They gave them 12 hours. And in that 12 hours, before you could come in, you had to be searched. So you had to literally stand out in the rain, waiting to be searched, so you could go into the Superdome. All the studies told them what would happen when you take that many people and put them in that arena, when power goes out. They knew that the sanitation was going to be terrible, but they made no means of correcting it. They knew that people was going to be in there starving, but they brought no food. They knew that people was going to be thirsty. They knew that people was going to be in the closing that they was rescued in. They knew that their clothing that they had on was going to be contaminated, but they offered no medical assistance. So literally they abandoned them. And then when they rebelled and said that if I have to make it on my own, I'm going to go into these stores that would lock their doors before they would give me their food, that I would take these second and third cars that people was locking up their neighbors but wouldn't let no one use, I would take this car and get my family out of harm's way. Or I would take the fuel out of it so I could get my kids out of harm's way. And for this act of courage, many of them was killed. The lucky ones was arrested, but many lost their lives. You had young men that was out doing rescues all day, but at night, they had to get off the street because a dusk to dawn shoot to kill curfew was imposed upon only one segment of the population in New Orleans. And that is the African American segment. That if you was white, you maybe was warned. But if you was black and you broke that curfew, you was putting your life in your own hand. We had vigilantes that was given carte blanche to kill any young black male that they wanted to do. And it was like sport to some of them. And you could say, oh, Malik, you're lying. But there's a documentary that's being made in Sweden by a Swedish journalist that will attest to what I'm saying. He was able to go and speak to those vigilantes. And he could tell you how they feel. We had police that told a staff member for Amy Goodman in Democracy Now! That all the niggas up in the night ward need to drown. We had other politicians that classified them as being a disease that needed to be cleansed. But under all this, many people held on to the hope. And that hope was steadily being intensified by people like the two courageous sisters that I just pointed out to you, that came down and worked. So the efforts of Gloria and Bill of coming down to document what was happening, so that this injustice, this act of genocide, would not go unchallenged. Because if it go unchallenged in New Orleans, right, what'll happen if it's a major earthquake here? And the same powers that be will say, well, we got away with it on destroying a black population in Louisiana. Now let's try it in California. We're going to play them against each other. But when people of conscience come together, then that falsehood, those lies, those dastardly deeds is not being, they are being challenged. They are not being perpetuated without no outcry of what you are doing is wrong. And a day of accountability is coming. Why? You can call for it. You can call for a full investigation of what happened. You can hold a people's tribunal to investigate what really happened in New Orleans. How many people was really killed in that Superdome? Mm-hmm. By armed men that's supposed to be in a building that you searched everybody before they entered. You know, how did they get these arms? How were they able to cut babies' throats? How many babies was... But you know, that's a lie that this government always perpetuates, the death of children. One of the justifications for the first Iraqi war is that they were stealing incubators, taking babies out of the incubators and throwing them against the wall. New Orleans came as close as I've ever seen, and I've been in shootouts with the police. As a member of the Black Panther Party, I was in shootouts with them in Desire, in New Orleans. But never have I seen a city come so close to a race war than what I seen between day 2 and day 7 after that hurricane. When that levee broke, some said it exploded. I believe the only explosion, the only explosive that they used was greed. I did greed and neglect. Because Louisiana, under the Pelican Commission, get almost $40 billion to repair the wetlands and its levee system. How was that $40 billion being spent? How could a mayor be duped into allowing his people to be treated in such a way and justified? How can a governor, where the only compassion that she have is by saying property is more valuable than human life, that we must stop rescues and start stopping all the looting? But people was taking what they needed to survive. If it took me to take a TV to use as bartering to get out of New Orleans, then I'm gonna take a TV. If it mean me breaking into a store to get food, then I'm gonna break in that store to get food. Because I wouldn't care if I would have to break into your home If it means me breaking into your home to make sure my child is fed when you refuse to show any form of civic responsibility, any type of neighborly deed to me, then that's what I do. And for many people who made that choice, they lost their lives, or right now are rotting in a new Angola South. Greyhound bus station and Amtrak trains, they wasn't used to evacuate nobody. They didn't get their facilities for that. But they gave their facilities to the state to use as a new prison. Where now some people have been held almost a month without being officially charged with anything except for being poor. With a governor that's saying that we're going to throw the book at them for trying to survive. We have people that was incarcerated on nonviolent offenses that are now lingering in Angola, the old Angola, and they won't let them out. At that health clinic, we have served almost 2,000 people in 3 weeks without receiving any federal, city, or state support. I want you to understand, with the only thing that the Louisiana Department of Health to come to us to do is to try to close us down. Never saying, well, how was y'all able to do this? How, when we couldn't open up our health clinic, you was able to open up a health clinic? And I'm not talking about me personally. I'm talking about any other medics, any other nurses, any other doctors that made the sacrifice to come down and treat people. Where did you get the resources from? But we had resources sent to us from France. Doctors to come from France. But the disparity and the racism was so great and the arrogance of this nation that we allowed 3 doctors to come over to help us from France. But we denied 1,700 doctors that was willing to come down from Cuba. This arrogance that our government is drunk on has to come to an end. How would it end? By you doing what you're doing tonight. Coming out and supporting these efforts. Organizing among yourselves. Dealing with an organization such as ANSWER, who have a history of doing community organizing and making these deeds known. Because if y'all don't expose it, who will? Who will speak up and say that with 60 Minutes and the guy, I can't think of his name, the black guy of 60 Minutes, was Bill Bradley, how he was duped into trying to make a hero out of a damn fool. And by that I mean our police chief. You know how Oprah also tried to make a hero out of him by looking at him crying crocodile tears for doing absolutely nothing. A media that has swung up and said that black people are so stupid that they're shooting at the planes and the helicopters that's trying to save them. But they can find no helicopter that was shot at. People were shooting, yes, in the air to let people know that they was there. And for that, many of them paid with their lives. This in a time that we thought Jim Crowism was over. But then we come to find out that it's alive and well. How can this happen in America? I'll tell you why. Because the surrounding parishes that surround New Orleans is some of the most racist parishes, which is our equivalent to counties in the country. It's the parish, it's the parishes that voted overwhelmingly for David Duke. Black doctors that tried to come in to help us open up the first clinic was stopped and turned around in Jefferson Parish, the parish of David Duke. But white doctors was able to get through. White volunteers was able to come down and help us. When some black volunteers was again denied access and was turned around. These are the parishes that surround New Orleans. Ever since New Orleans became a black majority, a plan was already in works on how they could take back New Orleans. That's why they duped a mayor with no understanding. Because I'm gonna tell you, all black people isn't black people friends, and all white people isn't our enemy. Some of us is so naive that we believe that what this man have behind his back is a rose and not a knife. That they have climbed that economic ladder and now they are accepted without the understanding that they are only being tolerated. That was our mayor's fault. He fell for that game. He allowed the police force to exist in New Orleans that was 90% black at the bottom and 90% white at the top. So he allowed them to play him like he was a fiddle by telling them, oh, they're raping white women. Oh, they are cutting babies' throats. Oh, it's bands of hoodlums that's just roaming the streets of New Orleans, breaking in the building. But they didn't say that some of these bands of so-called hoodlums were saving people's lives. Did the city come to them to try to organize it? No. Did they offer supplies for the continuation of the rescues? No. Did they offer just moral support? No. But they killed five young men on the causeway and said that they was looters and had guns. They shot down young men's in Algiers and allowed their body to lay in the sun, lay in a festering sun in a tropical climate for up to 2 weeks, and one of them in front of their health clinic and refused to move it, or even to supply a body bag to put it in. It took democracy now to literally expose this. And when she exposed it, the next day, the body was removed. But what if she wouldn't have came? What if first Gloria wouldn't have came? Gloria and Bill Hackwell. What if Mary Ratcliffe, the true hero of this, wouldn't have had the courage to say and to call down and say, Malik, really what's going on? And to print it. Why? Because we tried to talk to the mainstream media. They didn't want to hear what we had to say. The police, when we told them about these white vigilantes, kept telling us that we was lies, that they didn't exist. Ed Bradley or Oprah never came to Algiers. They never rode with the people. They just followed the so-called administration. So one-sided reporting was the name of the game. George Jackson called it an opinion-molding institution, where they literally determine what you think. That they can make you out of a monster, don't care what good you do. And they did it successfully. Now how can we challenge that? By doing what you're doing now. And that every time you look at CNN, ABC, CBS, and all the other stations, that you start thinking also about who own them. And what is these owners' involvement in world tragedies? That you could look at what's going on in Las Vegas, the fastest growing city in America, that's in a desert with no natural resources to sustain itself. But at the same time, you got people starving to death around the world. You can challenge this. You can expose these lies and these contradictions for being what they are. You can make it known. You can come down and help us to rebuild New Orleans. And I just want you to think right now. I ain't gonna ask you to close your eyes, but just think of this. If after this meeting you go home and everything that you left at home was destroyed. And then just think that you have to go 30 days before the government came out to help you. That you had to wear the same clothes that you have on until you be able to hustle something else to wear. And nobody would offer you any assistance. How would you feel? How would you feel while you're laying there waiting on the government and your children is going hungry? How would you feel if you're contracting all kind of disease from wearing contaminated clothes? How would you feel? Now think how you would feel if some person of conscience would come there bringing you clean clothes, feeding your children, offering you health care, how would you feel then? That's what you can do by coming down and addressing the situation that exists now, not only in New Orleans. All the emphasis is in New Orleans because it's a big city. But in Mississippi, which was hit directly, in Alabama, which was on the eastern side of that hurricane with the strongest wind. Come on down and make a difference. We're asking for people of conscience not only to make a contribution tonight, but to go back and organize. To go back and organize buying the material that is needed, because we need tents. Why? Because when people come back and find out their houses is not livable, they become homeless. And they need shelter. We need tents. We need electricians that could come down and establish from that pole some electricity, some power, that we could make sure that inside these tents is the basics. We need environmental engineers to come down and test the soil in the water, to test the lakes and our wetlands, that we dump this polluted water in our haste to just pump out New Orleans, that we pumped it out into our wetlands. We need to find out what is the lasting ramification. Because if we don't, we're going to have to take a government, you know, opinion on what is safe and what is not. The same government that denied to assist us. Louisiana was already known for how toxic it was. One of the greatest areas known in environmental justice is what we call Cancer Alley. Now what could be done? If you think the city gonna come to an understanding that we need to find alternative energy sources? Or will we build another city dependent upon fossil fuel? Even with all the understanding that we have on solar, on biodiesel. But you have that ability to come down and to help us rebuild, and rebuild in an environmentally friendly way. One that's not driven by greed and destroying the environment, but one based upon coexisting with the environment. We could put that together. You could come down and show us how to establish the solar, how to stop this dependency upon fossil fuel. Because right now, winter is coming. And with people without the ability to survive being homeless, many gonna die or they just gonna leave. But you can come in and teach them. You can make sure that by winter, everybody have a decent, warm coat to wear. Everybody have a warm place to lay their head, food to eat, and access to health care. Prior to the hurricane, 80% of the men in the Algiers was uninsured. So most of them, when they did go to a hospital, they had to go to the emergency room. Prior to the hurricane hitting, we had 281 murders in New Orleans this year. That's a city of a half a million. So imagine in San Francisco, 280 murders in 1 year. And that was the norm in New Orleans. Public housing development was just taken away. This would constitute and driven most of the murders that occurred in New Orleans. Our public schools was bankrupt. We had people that had been dead for generations still receiving checks. Most of the contractors or the vendors that we gave these lucrative contracts for our schools didn't live in New Orleans and didn't their kids or their grandkids or none of their relatives attend the school in New Orleans. Our teachers was underpaid and overworked. Many of them had to bring toilet paper to the schools. Our kids was incarcerated in some of the worst for-profit detention centers that ever exist in America. Because we lived in a city where they say care for God. But I believe we lived in a city that forgot to care. Because we allowed it to happen. We would spend up to $90,000 to keep one child incarcerated for a year. But would only give his mother $6,000 a year to raise him. $90,000 to keep him incarcerated, and we wouldn't spend $90,000 on trying to develop the recreation and a social component for the entire neighborhood in which that child came out of. New Orleans was more concerned with the saints than with human life, because they waited for the last minute to open up that Superdome because they thought that these poor niggas was going to destroy it and the saints wouldn't have no place to play. That's where their concern was, not upon those whose lives they could have saved. Because again, we had 3 days prior warning that this hurricane was coming. We had enough buses, enough planes, enough boats, enough trains to get everybody out of harm's way. Less than just 120,000. We had enough time and enough capability. We could send predator drone planes all over Iraq to find someone that we've been searching for years and can't find. But we couldn't use none of them for the rescue of those trapped in their houses. The government came into New Orleans like an occupying force. They came in with with rocket launchers. That's right, rocket launchers. They came in with rocket launchers and attack helicopters. That's how they came in, because they was told that New Orleans was now being ran by thugs. It just so happened that one of the leaders was a man of conscience, a Major Frank Emanuel from here in California, that refused to believe it and came out and in those vigilantes. The only time I ever seen any good from the military. But they came and they did it. But now they're leaving. And another group is coming in from California. But where the next one gonna come from? Alabama? Because you have to remember, wherever this government sent their military as an occupation force, they do not leave. The history of it. Look at it.
Guantanamo.
You know? So again, you can make that difference. You could come down there and make sure that they get out of New Orleans. You can make sure that in New Orleans, that people are encouraged to return, not in a way that will run them back out of New Orleans, but a way that will make them come back and live. I won't take up any more of your time, because I know I'm probably overextended my time already. But in closing, I just want to say that if each individual would get out and just make 10 people aware of what's happening, and ask each one of those 10 to make 10 others aware of what's going on, of what really happened, to challenge CBS, to challenge ABC, to challenge CNN of what they're saying, is it true? If you would do it, you'll find that these lies would be uncovered for what they are, and that's lies, and truth and justice will prevail. With that, I greet you the way I came. Assalamu alaikum.